Joining us on the line is clinical psychologist Dr. Michael Cargreg, one of Australia's leading authorities on the mental health of teens. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. It's an adolescent psychologist, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad we've got that because you are the man. You're the man to talk to. You are absolutely the man to talk to because we understand that in recent times that your practice has been absolutely inundated with kids who are depressed and anxious. Is that right?
Yeah, look, it's I think COVID has a long tail psychologically. And while things are getting marginally better for those people who have a bit of coin, I think for a lot of people, particularly ones whose parents perhaps aren't as wealthy, the waiting list to get in for anxiety and depression are still way too long.
That is so alarming to hear, Michael. You just, it breaks my heart that there are kids that are in need of help and can't actually access that help. But I think when you're talking about anxiety and depression in teens, well, in anyone really, but we're talking about teens, prevention is better than cure, right? So what I want to understand is why are our children so anxious and depressed?
Look, I think, first of all, anxiety is a little bit like eye colour. It runs in families. So you've got the genetic component. On top of that, you've got the pressures of school, NAPLAN, the VCE, the ATAR, and they still believe, many of my clients, that they are their ATAR. Life is still worth living irrespective of the score that you get. The score doesn't define you, yet that is a very major driver, I think, of this anxiety you're talking about.
So, Michael, on that basis then, are we placing, is society in generally placing unrealistic expectations on our teenagers at far too early their stage of life, where they haven't really had a chance, particularly with the COVID interruption, to understand their place in the world, where they might like to go? Is that a fair comment?
I think that is a fair comment, Gerald, but it's also mitigated by the curse of social media.
Yes.
So social media is kind of like the wallpaper of their life in that they are looking constantly at this great envy amplifier. Mm. So the temptation is to get up in the morning, scroll through whatever they're scrolling through, and see the highlight reels of other people's lives and think that that's real. So they end up feeling particularly deficient, and they do this thing called the compare and despair phenomenon.
Mm. I'm very familiar with that, even as an adult, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've got to say, Michael, but this is where, as a parent, all the conversations I have with my daughter are around a growth mindset and trying to flip that sense that there needs to be perfection to actually what we are doing is just living and learning. So can you give some advice in, you know, for instance, she'll come to me and say, I'm no good at this. And I say, but no, actually, let's flip that from I'm no good at it to I'm learning this. Is there a way that we can help our children to sort of have a different mindset?
There is. And first of all, you get a very big elephant stamp for parenting from me. That's magnificent. Look, there's a lovely online, free, evidence-based website called Mood Gym, created by the psychologists at ANU. And I recommend this to all parents of young people who perhaps are feeling a little bit deficient from time to time. It's great if you've got some anxious thoughts or some depressive thoughts, and it's been put together by the psychologist there. You can just do 5 minutes a day, and it's literally cognitive behavioral therapy online. So as a sort of gap between sessions, I get all my clients to do that. And they're already clinically diagnosed. But if you talk about prevention, this is gold.
What I'm curious about, we talked at the top of the show a little bit about the worries that they're having. Some people put all the pressure on their academic results, being that if they're not going to be incredible achievers, they're not going to be able to afford a great life. But then they're also worrying about the environment that they're going to grow up into and the factors on, are we looking after cost of living, saving the planet? What are some things that listeners out there can kind of be a little bit aware of or across that they might start to see in their young ones so that they might be able to jump on this early? What are some of the major worries that we're starting to see that could actually give parents a tool to go, oh my goodness, that's something I don't want them worrying about, or we should start to get on top of right now?
Well, you're probably not going to be able to stop them from worrying about it, because the moment they go to primary school, you no longer are the only voice in their head. Mm. But you have to be the strongest and the loudest voice in their head. So every time there's an article in the paper or a story on the radio or on TV, use it as a teachable moment. Don't lecture them, but ask them what they think and then give them your view. And I'm always a glass half full person. So I always try and present to them an optimistic view. I always talk to them, for example, when my patients talk to me about artificial intelligence, I remind them that, you know, the bulk of people who have studied this are saying that it's going to be advantageous to us, that it will help us solve some of the world's greatest problems. I don't see the point of telling them anything else, because we want them to feel optimistic about the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's such important topic that we could talk about this all day. Unfortunately, we do have to go, but Michael Carr-Gregg, thank you so much for joining us. For anyone who wants more info, head to Michael Carr-Gregg, and that's got double R, double G, .com. It's been a real privilege to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.